Doing today? Oh gosh, good show here. We're talking about Bryant Park, and we have Dan Fishman, who's the director of events there, telling us everything that's happening there. I had no clue they have 1,000 people doing yoga together there out in the park. And we have Hamilton Clancy of the Drilling Company, and he's going to talk about the Shakespeare plays that the Drilling Company, of which he is the executive director, artistic director, is doing in Bryant Park, and also with free Shakespeare in the parking lot on the Lower East Side. And then we have a very special guest. One of our interns, Pooja, is going to be on the show for just a little bit, but it's really nice to have her. So, as usual, the show is when I never think I have enough time or enough people or enough this, I always have too much. So, as usual, the show is chock-a-block full, so hang in, and here goes. Whoops, and just to let you know, the WBAI comedy show, Too Raw for Radio, is not going. It's been canceled for July 2nd. The next date for it is August 6th. Thank you. Okay, I am here in studio with Hamilton Clancy of the Drilling Company, and via phone, we have Dan Fishman, the events director at Bryant Park Corporation, and it's summertime, right? And we want to talk about all the wonderful things happening in the park. So I want to start talking to you, Dan and Hamilton. Welcome, and things that are going on in the park that are free and that all of New Yorkers and everyone in the tri-state area can come to enjoy. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thank you very much, Earth Mom. It's a huge pleasure, not to use that terrible word now, to be here at WBAI.
Great. Thank you for coming to Brooklyn.
Thank you for having me with Hamilton here.
And Dan, how you doing?
Doing well. Great to be here on the phone, and hopefully the weather holds out today for yoga.
Yeah,
I think you might have a good day. Well, let's start with that, because there's a lot of different events or activities that you have for physicality, for health in the body. You have yoga, Pilates. Why can't I say Pilates?
Thank you, Reggie.
You
got it there.
Yoga, Pilates. We have a boot camp, which is sort of like military fitness on Wednesday mornings. We have all sorts of fitness activities, as well as sort of the cultural programs and classes that go on here. It's a real range of different opportunities.
It's awesome. What type of classes do you have?
We have knitting classes every week. last week, we actually broke a record for our knitting class. We had 94 people.
Holy mackerel.
In the park, all knitting together, and they knit scarves that actually go to people in need afterwards at an event that we do. We have Tai Chi classes, we have language classes, and all of these are sort of weekly classes that are free and open to the public.
That is so fantastic. Before we started, you mentioned you've been doing this for 4 years. What are some of the changes that you've seen in the 4 years since you've been doing it?
Well, we're doing a lot more events. We have, if you count them all up, we have over 1,000 events that we do in the summer, which is, you can imagine, we're doing, you know, 5, 6, 7 different things every day, from small classes to really large events. There's a real range here, and it's becoming more and more densely programmed here at the park.
I'm jumping in here.
Yeah.
One of the really cool things that they're doing there this year, it's sort of a brand new umbrella program, is Bryant Park Picnics. And there are several different cultural events underneath the Bryant Park Picnics program. And we're part of that, the Shakespeare is. But it's really, it's just a fantastic way to sort of approach events when you have a spectacular venue like Bryant Park.
So it means New Yorkers in a hurry don't have to go out and shop and get their ready-made picnic and bring it. You mean they can get it right at the park? We don't mention money, though, just so you know.
Right.
Yeah,
that's the idea. The idea is that there's no line for tickets at these events, certainly not the Shakespeare. I don't think there's any lines at any of the for tickets at the other events, is there, Dan?
No, what we're trying to do is to make it as easy as possible to have a great cultural experience in New York City. And part of that, we think, is having a great picnic experience. So we lend out over 200 blankets for free that you can borrow to enjoy the show, whether it's music, theater, or dance.
Yep.
We have food vendors who sort of lie in the lawn, so you can grab dinner, you can grab dessert, you can grab a snack as you enjoy some event. And we have beer and wine that you can actually grab as well near the lawn. So yeah. It's a full picnic experience that hopefully you don't have to plan too much for. Just on a last minute, you can come to the park and know that you're going to have a great full evening.
Yeah, and you mentioned the events are all free. So the vendors obviously will charge something for their products, but the events themselves, they're all free. I'm not speaking out of turn there, am I, Dan? They're all free events, right?
Yeah, we're trying to be one of the most accessible and comfortable arts venues in New York City. And obviously part of accessibility is there's no cost. Where you really can just come as you are. We try to make it as easy as possible for you. As Hamilton mentioned, there are no lines. There's no dress code. Grab any subway and you can get close to Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
And then have a real world-class art experience, whether it's seeing a performance by artists from Carnegie Hall, or seeing, you know, the Drilling Company do Shakespeare, or seeing New York City Opera perform as they did on Wednesday this week. It really is an opportunity to see something special in a special location.
What are some of the most popular classes that you've had?
Our yoga class on Thursdays
uh-huh.
is definitely one of the most popular events at this point. We regularly get over 1,000 people.
Holy smoke!
Yoga.
That's 1,000 people doing a salute to the sun. That's quite a sight.
It's really impressive. If you haven't had a chance to come out to yoga on Thursdays, it's a real New York experience. It's not like being in a yoga studio with, you know, 15, 20 other people. It really becomes something much bigger. It takes up almost the entire lawn. Some days, on busy days, the entire lawn. I believe I'm telling the truth when I say this. I think it's the largest regularly scheduled yoga class, at least in North America, if not the world.
The visual spectacle alone, because we've often been setting up for the Shakespeare
uh-huh.
plays when the yoga class is beginning. The visual spectacle alone is something to see. So even if you're sheepish about yoga itself, you should come by the park sometime when the yoga class is going on and just see 1,000 people doing yoga. That's some powerful energy.
That's amazing, because I thought a couple hundred, maybe 1,000. That's
it's amazing.
Wow. What are some of the big events that you have coming up?
Well, every Monday for 10 Mondays during the summer, we have something called Movie Nights. Which is probably the event that we're best known for in Bryant Park. It's really one of the largest movie screening series outdoors in the city. And this is our 26th year doing that.
Mm.
And for the large ones, we get, you know, 10,000 people or more to come watch outdoor film. So that's a really big one here. And then Hamilton already mentioned Bryant Park Picnics.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really great event on July 18th coming up with Carnegie Hall. They're bringing Brave Combo, who's this fantastic group. If you haven't heard Brave Combo's music, you should. And there's a whole series of artists with Carnegie Hall who are going to come starting July 18th.
That's fine.
In addition to that, we have contemporary dance, so dance companies performing on stage on Fridays for the next three Fridays. So there's a whole range of sort of large arts and culture events that we have here in addition to the movie nights.
What are some of the films that are coming up that are going to be screened?
There's a whole range of them that are still coming. I'm very excited for our final film, which is The Terminator, which I think in the park is going to be something really special. But there's a really great lineup this year, and I would encourage anyone who's interested in our movie nights to visit bryantpark.org and get the full schedule.
Yeah, that's the good thing, because everything is really accessible there, and you can see day by day all the activities that are going on.
Yeah. Yeah, if any of these sort of events interest you, we try to make it, again, as easy to come as possible. So just check out the calendar and drop on in.
It is amazing in the middle of New York City. I've gone to a few of the movie nights, and it's just so relaxing. The quiet you feel, and it's it doesn't feel like, how many people did you say can show up for that? It never felt crowded for some reason.
I'm glad that you say that, because we're always trying to make it a comfortable experience on the lawn.
Yeah.
And thinking about being outdoors,
mm-hmm.
being with your friends on a picnic blanket, I think that experience is so iconic and such a part of the New York City summer.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make it as comfortable as possible.
And just to chime in on that, you know, mm-hmm. Obviously we're here because of the Shakespeare that is also part of that. But, you know, also in Bryant Park, if for some reason you're a little squeamish about the blanket, we've got some chairs. We got a lot of chairs in Bryant Park, which is actually fantastic, because if you're more comfortable sitting on a chair, there are plenty of chairs to accommodate everyone at these experiences. So it's really fantastic to get a little bit of the best of both worlds. So you get this really sort of really pastoral experience in the middle of an urban environment, which is quite unique. I was sitting in the park after one of, we recently did Midsummer Night's Dream, and there was a gentleman sitting on one of the benches, and we sat down beside, and he just looked at us setting up the Shakespeare for Midsummer Night's Dream, and he said to us, "You know, I've been to every major park in the world." I said, "Oh." He said, "This is the greatest one. Right here in New York, Bryant Park. Everything that's going on here, this is the greatest park in the world."
That's one heck of a compliment.
Yeah, it's just not anybody that we knew, but it's just the kind of thing people say when they have all these fantastic experiences there.
And I mean, how big is the park? I mean, it's not terribly large. It's a city block, less than.
Yeah, it's from 42nd Street to 40th Street, and then one, you know, city block of an avenue. But then the library is there,
mm-hmm.
too. The real park space is about 6 acres, give or take. So it's small, but for a small park, it's one of, if not the most densely used in terms of people attending, public spaces in the world. It really, there are about 12 million people who come through Bryant Park on a given year.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. How many years ago did you start with the Christmas market there? And that the whole park is transformed over the holiday time.
Yeah, we used to, I don't remember the exact mm-hmm. year that we started. It's been about a decade now.
Yeah, that was my estimation.
Yeah, but the Winter Village has really made Bryant Park a winter destination, some of our
Definitely.
Biggest attendance numbers for the entire year are during the winter, which never would have happened if we didn't do the ice rink and had really the support of Bank of America to do this whole Winter Village. It's really become a destination.
Yeah, And one of the things that they've got there that keeps it going and is that they actually have people who are overseeing it. You can tell from the way Dan's talking about it that are concerned about the experience that the audience is having. I mean, really, that's really what they're where their head is at.
You just and don't so have bean counters.
No, and it's the kind of support you feel when you're an arts organization is providing, you know, a service to the city and to people, to an audience of the city. To have the people like that who are actually concerned about the experience that's being created for them, that's a real ally, and you don't always get that.
Yeah. So how long has Shakespeare been going on in Bryant Park?
Well, this will be our fifth year. So it's our fifth year, and Midsummer Night's Dream, which we did in May, that was our 11th production in mm-hmm. Bryant Park. And we have Twelfth Night coming up at the end of July, the 27th and the 28th, and a special matinee performance on the 29th. And then we're going to follow that up at the end of the summer with another one of the Shakespeare's classics, which is Macbeth, which should be a good way to wrap up in August and September.
Mm. All big ones. Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's a big summer. Yeah, we're really fortunate to have a chance to embrace these great titles there. There's such a fantastic audience there that's so welcoming these experiences that it's very exciting. You're introducing, and every time you open a Shakespeare there, you don't even know how many people you're introducing to these plays that you think have been around for 400 years that everybody's seen them. And not the case. We really are. We have a lot of people who are waking up to how much fun these plays can be.
Always a new audience. How many people do you get for the Shakespeare plays?
Well, I think we get upwards of 1,000, depending upon the evening. And our greatest ally in recruiting audiences is Mother Nature, because we're here with Earth Mother. So Mother Nature, and when you're on a fabulous New York City day, anybody who's in New York only gets a set number of, because when it's a beautiful New York day or evening, it's really it's just such an incredible experience. And when we have them, the audiences are really, they're unbelievable. But we even get people showing up, even when there's a threat of rain or something like that. We've got a steadfast crowd that comes anyway, and we play by baseball rules. As long as you can play baseball, and we think we can do Shakespeare, and we always have an audience that comes and follows. So that's really, reassuring, and it gives you a good boost to the heart.
Mm. And the opera companies are there as well, Jan?
Yeah, we have New York City Opera, who's been a great partner of the park over the last few years. They're coming this year to do 5 performances. We've actually already had 3, but there's 2 more this summer. They're going to do a premiere in the park of highlights from The Crucible, so a new opera inspired by the Arthur Miller play. And they've just been such a great partner, bringing these sort of world-class singers and opera, which is something that the majority of New Yorkers have never heard before. Mm-hmm. Just really giving a sort of accessible opera experience to the people. I think they've done a great job with that.
Wow. So it's almost like 365 days a year, because as the summer winds down, classes still remain, don't they?
Yeah, we're always active with programming. We're really one of our cornerstones of what we try to do here at Bryant Park, is to make sure that really anytime someone comes, they can have an experience that's unusual, that can bring people into the park. And the more that we are able to give people those experiences, the better.
So how much of a tourist destination is it, you know, from people coming all around the world? And it's such a basic for all of the New Yorkers.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is, at least for events, we're finding that tourists definitely do stumble upon it. Because you're in the center of Midtown, and there's an area that tourists
right there
come to.
Yeah.
And increasingly, I think Bryant Park is becoming one of the places that tourists want to see, which obviously is great, that it's becoming known around the world in that way. But it is still a hub for New Yorkers, whether it's, you know, people in office buildings having lunch or just any of the events. It really is a crowd that's mostly people who are local, who are either coming from their office or coming from all throughout the city to come see a show.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that we're seeing is, I mean, you just, the fact that these performances are so accessible. I mean, you know, they're free, but of course, and everybody who's creating different experiences around the city, we always like take the hat off to our brothers uptown doing Shakespeare in the Park.
Sure.
It's fantastic, anybody who's making great things happen. But you know, the fact that these experiences are non-ticketed, they're accessible, you can just come right up. We really have a lot of New Yorkers who are starting to go, wow, that really is free, because I don't have to take time out of my day to figure out how am I going to get the tickets, how am I going to stand in line. Again, I'm not taking anything away from those fantastic experiences. It's just one of the things that makes all the experiences in Bryant Park really so fantastic. You can make plans to be there, show up, and you can find some space for yourself and your guests and have a really wonderful time.
Yeah, it doesn't take a day's or a week's plan.
Yeah, which is
for the moment.
It's a great. It really adds to the beauty of the city.
Well, Dan, anything else that you want to tell us about the park, or that we should know about summer fun in Bryant Park this year?
No, I just, anyone who is interested in sort of experiencing unusual events outdoors, whether it's, you know, a class or a big scale, a big performance in the park, check bryantpark.org. Almost anything that you can imagine, we do here. And if you have new ideas, send them along.
Do you want to talk, before you leave, do you want to talk a little bit about the history of the park? How it used to be a reservoir?
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
I'm not a knowledgeable person, but yeah, it used to be the Croton Reservoir. And it was sort of one of the main hubs where water got into New York City. There was a big aqueduct that sort of ended where Bryant Park currently is. And eventually, when that water system was changing, the park became at least a version of what it currently is, around 1900, I believe.
Mm.
And yeah, it's obviously, it's the New York Public Library is a big fixture there historically, and Bryant Park sort of became the backyard of the library. And it's gone through a bunch of changes over the past 100 years. And really for the past 26 years, Bryant Park Corporation, which currently manages the park, the park's owned by the city, but Bryant Park Corporation manages it and, you know, puts on all these events and does the horticulture and sanitation, et cetera.
Yeah, if you're I'm jumping in on Dan right there. If mm-hmm. you're talking about the history of Bryant Park, you could not mention a guy by the name of Dan Biederman, who is responsible for the Renaissance now in its 26th year. So it's not like it was yesterday, but before that, it had fallen into the situation of neglect, and the transformation of the park over the last 25 years is really one of the most remarkable urban accomplishments that's happened. It's been noted in several magazines, et cetera, but you know, we're the ones here in New York who get to enjoy it. And that accomplishment is really, it's considerable. And the organization, the team that he's put together to make that happen is, it's amazing to be welcomed to it as an arts organization. But just as a citizen in New York, it's amazing to see it.
Hats off to him. I know for a while I worked with the Australian Tourist Company on Fifth Avenue across the street from the library, and that park meant so much to me, as to many others, you know, just to be able to come outside and be there on the lawn during lunchtime and getting out. And it really is a big benefit and a blessing to everyone. And thank you. Thank you, Dan Fishman. You and bryantpark.org to find out more. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Earth Mom. It's great. It's great to be on the call.
You're very welcome. You be well.
See you, Dan. We'll be right back.
That was Jimi Hendrix polka Purple Haze by Brave Combo, who will be in Bryant Park this month. And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org online.
Hi, this is Mike Sarcone, a Brooklyn-based musician and a segment producer for Morning Eclectic with Earth Mum, heard here on WBAI Saturday mornings at 6 a.m., and I'm a BAI buddy, asking you to be our buddy. Help support commercial-free, community-based social justice radio. Become a BAI buddy at $10 a month or more. It's easy. Go to the BAI Buddy icon on the website, WBAI.org, or call 516-620-3602. And your donation will be automatically deducted each month from your savings account or your debit card. Become a Morning Eclectic BAI Buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. It's Earth Mom. So if you appreciate guests like Bruce Lipton, Paul Winter, attorney Daniel Sheehan, indigenous voices for Mother Earth, astrologers talking about the cycles of the moon and the stars, if you appreciate a truly eclectic program that dances between the arts, Mother Earth, health, spirituality, local upcoming events, and everyday people doing some pretty wonderful things, then consider supporting WBAI and becoming a buddy to my show, Morning Eclectic. Thank you very much. Later.
You can't be a ham and do Hamlet.
They will not give a damn or a damlet.
Just recite an occasional sonnet, and your lap will have honey upon it.
When your baby is pleading for pleasure,
let us sample your measure for measure. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they're all kow-kow.
Forsooth,
and they're all kow-kow.
If they can,
and they're all kow-kow.
So now we're continuing, and that song was Brush Up Your Shakespeare, and Hamilton Clancy doesn't really have to brush up. This guy knows Shakespeare, and
he
is the director and founder of the Drilling Company, and along with providing Shakespeare in Bryant Park, the Drilling Company also provides Shakespeare in the Parking Lot.
Going into 24th year.
24th year, wow. What made you start and what inspired you to bring Shakespeare to the outdoors, a la Joe Papp, but into the parking lot, which is your very own thing?
Yeah, well, as the story goes, we discovered Shakespeare in the parking lot. It was originally started by a now defunct arts organization called Expanded Arts long ago, back in the days when there were all kinds of storefront theaters on the Lower East Side, and somebody at Expanded Arts just got the idea that there was an empty parking lot out there, and hey, maybe that'd be a good place for us to do a Shakespeare play. And so they started, and as happens, the storefront there, they lost their storefront. Expanded Arts had to disband, but a couple of the artists who saw what a good thing Shakespeare in the parking lot was kept it going.
Which would be you.
Well, and not, that's
not
how
yet.
We came along.
Okay.
Right? I got invited into that group. And the people who were keeping it going, they didn't know, they didn't see at the time. We at the time had thought in our mission that we needed to find a way to bring audiences together to a common experience. We saw what was happening where folks were doing certain plays so they could get this audience, and they just get those folks. And we thought what we need to do is create an experience where people came together, right? It's
mm-hmm.
where the audience was of different experiences, socioeconomic, racial, religious, whatever. And we thought, well, how do you create an experience like that? And we were trying to do that with new plays. And we got invited to co-produce one of these Shakespeare in the Parking Lot productions, and I saw, wow, it's right here. And at the time, the gentleman who had kept it going, he couldn't keep it going. He had other things calling him, and I said, I think we should take it from here. And we did. And that was, we started in 2002 with them, and then we finally took it over fully in 2006. So it's been now a long partnership with keeping this enduring legacy going on the Lower East Side. We've encountered, well, you name it. We've encountered a lot of challenges to keep that going, but it's the people of the Lower East Side that have kept us going down there.
That's great. Let alone finding the empty parking lot that's available to you when you want to perform.
Yeah, that's, well, for about 20 years we had, there was a beautiful parking lot at Ludlow and Broome, but as some of your listeners may be familiar with, something called the Essex Crossing Project, or Spura, they've had a lot of development down on the Lower East Side, and the parking lot that we once occupied for 20 years now has a beautiful multi-story building on top of it. And so then we moved over to the Clemente, where we've been for the last 3 years. Doesn't look like that's going to continue right now. I think we're going to be moving over to Sour Roosevelt Park just for this summer with this particular production of Hamlet that we have. But we're excited about the production because it's a really interesting take on it.
Well, yeah, I really want to talk about that. But before we do, in Sour Roosevelt Park, are you going to be in the park or will you be in a parking lot in the park?
Well, that's a conversation that we're still having with
okay.
Sour Roosevelt.
All right.
We think we ought to be in the parking lot part of the park, and some of the folks in the Parks Department think we ought to be in the park part of the park.
Well, you know, both are very good.
We're interested in staying on the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
And there's some other people who have parking lots who've been reaching out to us. As a matter of fact, during the time that we've been doing this, literally, there's Shakespeare going on in parking lots all over the world. I can remember about 3-4 years ago, somebody from Shakespeare in the Parking Lot in Spain mm-hmm. came to me and gave me a pin. And I think now we've got a Shakespeare in the Parking Lot in Seattle and a Shakespeare in the Parking Lot in Denver. And it's just, for us, it's kind of a movement, right? To create spaces where people can come, you know, regardless of socioeconomic background, and experience this fantastic writer and the fantastic stories that he's telling.
Yeah, it's almost like a performance artist on the street, except this is staged and, mm-hmm. you know, rehearsed. Well, the artist on the street rehearses, but it's a group. And I'm excited about your production of Hamlet with the female as a lead in Hamlet, and it's a different take from the way females have played Hamlet in the past, from my understanding and my experience.
From our research, it shows that it's true. I don't think we're the only ones to ever do this take, but it certainly isn't as common as I thought it was. We have Hamlet's being played by an actress, a terrific actress, Jane Bradley. And one of the reasons why we... As the story goes, there's a wonderful actor in our company, and about a year and a half ago, I approached the actor, and I said, well, what do you think about maybe we should do Hamlet? And the actor turned to me and said, well, I'm flattered you would ask me, but it doesn't seem right to me that you as a company would be thinking about doing Hamlet without asking Jane Bradley to play Hamlet. She's the best actress in the company and the best actor in the company.
Wow.
You should ask her. He, of course, was right. This is a fantastic actress. She'd already set herself apart by playing Rosalind in As You Like It and got noticed by the Times. And
She was led our Merchant of Venice as Portia. So it's great to have her leading the show, and it's opening us up to this play, which we visited a couple of times before with the male actors playing Hamlet,
mm-hmm.
one of which many years ago, 15 years ago, was myself. But I'm actually hearing the play completely differently now that we have a woman playing the part. And it's incredible.
I find it so interesting. You said it's been done before, but as we were talking, you know, in my studies, you know, okay, Eve Le Gallienne did it, and sure. then Diana Venora in recent past, but they...
Sort of, not early 1980s.
Yeah.
Right? So you and I, but I remember what you were talking about, but not everybody necessarily...
Oh, thank you.
Diana
okay.
Diana Venora in the early 1980s, for you and me, maybe recent, but for some...
Yeah, born.
Yeah. Right, there you are.
Okay,
yeah.
there you go. Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right.
Right.
All right.
I think it's great you can pull that up. That's incredible.
But she, as we were talking, she played it as a male, but now the way... You're posing Hamlet. The female Hamlet's love interest is the female.
Yeah, sure.
So it's different from the way it is. I mean, it's very normal to us now, right?
Yeah.
And it's very 21st century, but I don't think it's been done that often.
No, it hasn't been done that often. We tried to do some research into it. And as I was mentioning to you before, it's led by a terrific director named Carla Hendrick. She's done fantastic performances for us before, and now she's leading this production. And I've been struck when I've been in rehearsals how certain lines are landing on my ears differently than I ever thought before. When we heard the first read through, and Ms. Bradley playing Hamlet, she said, "What a piece of work is woman?" Because we changed some of the pronouns. The way that line landed on my ears, I began to understand, like, in a way that I hadn't before, just how exclusionary, right? always saying what a piece of work is man actually is. And I have to confess my own naivete and ignorance in that regard, but in confessing it, I'm also talking about the revelation of making this choice and how it's actually fun and surprising. And so, you know, sure, lots of people have seen the play before, but I'm saying if you've seen it before, but you haven't seen it done this way before, the play's going to hit you completely differently.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds it. Who's your favorite Hamlet over the years, like from all that you've seen?
Well, my personal favorite would be Richard Burton, right? But that's because he had a gift with the language, the way he spoke it.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, that was really fantastic. But I have to say that the production that I saw several years ago at the Public was fantastic with Kevin Klein.
I saw that one too.
Yeah, I mean that that's we're dating one another. In that
I know,
regard,
I know.
Right, but I mean he's just an electric, really electric.
Do you know who blew me away though?
No,
Kenneth Branagh in the film.
Well,
the four-hour film, he's my favorite out of everybody.
Oh, he's your
favorite
like
Hamlet.
Okay. All right. No, I always thought of him, you know, he was Henry V.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he played Hamlet for me, he was still terrific,
mm-hmm.
right? But these other gentlemen, mm-hmm. you know, had more singular presence in the part. But I got to agree with you that particular movie.
That film was awesome.
Well, I have to agree who stood out for me in that was Kate Winslet.
Oh, she's brilliant all
now
the
she
time.
Would, if you asked me who my favorite Ophelia was,
that'd be
I'd
Kate.
Have told you it was Kate. I'd have told you it was Kate Winslet, but she's actually number two. Oh no, I'm sorry, she's three. I forgot.
Oh,
the number one would have to be an actress named Karen Kitts. You probably wouldn't have seen her, but she actually played Ophelia when I was fortunate enough to play Hamlet. And she actually happens to be my current wife of 18 years and the mother of my son. So she'll remain my favorite. And
as well she should.
And number two is an actress named Amanda Dillard who did it twice for us. But boy, Kate... Amanda Diller did it twice for the drilling company after that, and it was terrific. But Kate Winslet, she did something in that mad scene that was just terrific. That actually, it's one of the few times that I've seen the whole thing, and I went, somehow she made sense of that. I had to include that on that favorite.
So Hamilton Clancy, it's time for us to wrap, but tell us again what's playing this summer, where, and give us your website so that we can look it up and come.
So we're running Hamlet from July 12th to July 28th, and I'm going to tell you to check drillingcompany.org for the time and place. We're planning right now to be in Sarah Roosevelt Park, but there's still some things being worked out about that. And then we're going to be doing 12th Night, July 27th, 28th, and 29th at Bryant Park, 7 p.m. And 3 p.m. on the 29th. And then from August 24th to September 8th in Bryant Park, Fridays and Saturdays at 7, we'll be offering Macbeth.
Mm. Thank you so much, Hamilton Clancy. It's drillingcompany.org. We'll want to come out and see you guys.
Thank you, Earth Mama. Peace.
My pleasure. Peace.
Hazy white smoke hovers over me. No window for wild box makes it hard to breathe. Concrete pillow keeping me awake. Echoed voices suffocate my brain. Please leave me be. I can't feel much of any. Spotlight in my life. Now the sunshine reminds me of me. The butterflies have dropped dead in my chest. A way to sink to nothingness. I'm all alone. No. Without
That was Without You by singer-songwriter Pooja, who just happens to be a WBAI intern as well. Welcome, Pooja.
Hi, Earth Mom. Thank you for having me.
I'm really delighted. As usual, serendipity and synchronicity and all those things put together, as Michael Sarcona, the segment producer, knows, this show always sorts to come together with some kind of whimsical, magical, windy way. And that's
what makes it so great.
Yeah, there was no exception. So I'm so happy to be talking with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love your song.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I really do. You're studying at the Berklee School of Music?
Yes, Berklee College of Music in
Berklee
Boston.
Berklee College, wow. Mm-hmm. So big time kid, huh?
Yeah, I'm almost done. I graduate in December, so just trying to figure out post-grad life and you know how that goes.
What are your aspirations at the moment?
At the moment, so I've been working at my school's radio station for a really long time, so that's kind of what got me interested in radio and how I came across WBAI. So I want to go into radio. I want to host my own show. I want to play music. But at the same time, I don't want to stop writing because it's something that I love to do. It helps me get my emotions out there. So I want to continue writing. I want to continue releasing music. And I want to have a future in radio, hopefully.
That's really cool. Do you have a show on the school station?
Yes. It's obviously not happening right now because I am in New York. But it's called All Together Now.
With the singing songwriting, did you grow up always knowing and feeling that?
Yeah, so I always knew that I wanted to be a singer. I was one of those kids where my mom got me a karaoke machine for my birthday one year, and I would force my family to sit around and I would perform for them, and I was obsessed. and so my parents put me in voice lessons at a very young age, and then I ended up going to Berklee College of Music, and that's when I kind of discovered songwriting. I never really had gotten into writing songs before and ended up really liking it as an outlet to get my emotions out. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
It really helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
With songwriting, do you find things just come to you, or do you kind of have a system? I write this way or that way, or does it maybe all come out and then maybe you see, oh, that's how I wrote it? You with me?
Yeah. So it kind of depends. Sometimes I'll hear a phrase or I'll think of something really cool and I'll kind of just word vomit in my phone, just a whole page of just nonsense. And then sometimes I'll go back and edit it down. Sometimes I won't. Sometimes they just sit there forever. But a lot of the times what I'll do is I also play guitar. So I'll just play some chords on my guitar and kind of see how does this chord progression make me feel, and then kind of go from there and come up with a concept for the song. And that's actually how this song Without You was created. I was just messing around on my ukulele one night, and then I ended up writing this song. So
do you find that, it's been my experience sometimes, where the muse comes, the creativity, that spark comes, and you heed it or you don't? And if you don't heed it, you pay for it, because Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Would you elaborate on your feelings about that?
I mean, in terms of writing, sometimes I think of something in my head and sounds really good. And then I go to write something down and I'm like, well, that's actually trash. It's not good at all. But I don't know. I think it's really important to, whether you think it's good or not, just to get those emotions down and just to get it prepared and ready to go. And even if it doesn't go anywhere, you did it for yourself. So
that's
what it's all about.
Yeah, I so agree. I keep learning this because I keep getting hit over the head with it. But it's honoring ourselves and those impulses and the things that do come to us from the universe or from wherever they come, those sparks. And you can just go poo-poo it, and then it's gone and it's wasted. But if you really take it, embrace it, honor yourself for receiving it.
Right.
And kind of take yourself seriously, or be as kind to yourself as you would to someone else, and get it.
Right. Because at the end of the day, I do this for me. You know, I love sharing it with other people. And, you know, that's why I released my song. But it's for me. It's for my own self-care and to make myself feel better. So.
And also, I think when we share our authentic selves, right,
mm-hmm.
then that's what really shines, and that's what people relate to. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You don't need to be the next Katy Perry. You don't need to be like this one or that one.
Right.
But if you're Pooja and really show who you are
yep.
inside out, that's the best thing ever, right?
Yeah, I would agree. For
yeah.
sure.
So, have you found being a BA? I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's more than a job; it's an adventure. This place
yeah.
is a little different. what's your take on it?
I really like it so far. I've been here about a month, and I've met a lot of really cool people. I get to come on here and talk about my song, which is really cool. And I've gotten to work on a whole bunch of different shows, which I think is very cool. I like that everybody has it's a segment, you know, organized show. So I'm on one show that talks about theater and the arts, and then I'm on another show that plays music, and I'm on another show that talks about crazy things that happened in New York. So I like the versatility
mm-hmm.
of all the shows on BAI, and so I get to experience different kinds of people, and it's different, and I like it.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good luck. Thank you
Thank
for being
you so
on.
Much.
And if anyone wants to hear your music, you spell your name Pooja, Pooja. Where's
yes.
some of your music at?
You can find me pretty much everywhere on iTunes. If you search my name, Pooja, and without you, you'll find me. Same thing in Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Amazon Music, Google Play, pretty much every streaming service. So please go out and check my song. I would really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I want to thank my guest today, Dan Fishman of Bryant Park, Hamilton Clancy of the Drilling Company, drillingcompany.org, and find out where there'll be free performances. And I want to thank intern Pooja. And most of all, I want to thank you for listening. And I would encourage you, please become a BAI buddy so maybe our fun drives will lessen. And if you like what we're doing here on Morning Eclectic, and it truly is eclectic, I don't know if that may be irksome to some people because you never know what's going to be on the next week. But it is eclectic, and it's everything that touches me and I find interesting, and I like to share that with you. But support this show, and you can become a buddy to Morning Eclectic. For the suggested is 15. You can do 10. You can do 5. If you do it and you find, I can't do it anymore, I don't want to do it, then you can just stop doing it. You know, you're not signing your life away or anything. But if you do it, you are supporting a radio station that you love, and it just supports it week to week, day to day, month to month. And that's the really important part. So I hope you are all well. The WBAI comedy show, Too Raw for Radio, is not going to happen on July 2nd, but it is going to happen on August 6th. So suggest you come there. Lots of good people, good performers, music and comedy and raffles. So it'll be August 6th at 8 p.m. at the Brooklyn Commons. Everybody be well. See you next week. Later.
You say that once you knew for sure. Now you're walking in the shore to wonder. The more you learn, the less you know. The more you move, the more you go to nowhere. You ask a bird as she flies by just where she's at, and she says where the wind blows. Ask her by that what she means. She says she doesn't know, but as she flew away, she seemed to say the wind. The wind.
my love, who knows the wind, who knows my love, we're blown.